No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm in here with Jake Paul. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you?
It's crazy to finally get you on here. Epic collab.
I know. I feel like we've known each other, talked about it for a while, but yeah. Here we are.
Here we are, finally. You were just telling me off camera that you have a fight that you'd like to announce, and that we're actually going to be holding this podcast until the fight is announced, which I'm excited about. Who the fuck are you fighting?
I'm fighting a guy by the name of Gib.
Oh, wow.
So
so that actually went through.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's been years in the making, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, like, a lot of people don't know who he is. So, I feel like it's my job to, like, explain who he is.
Okay.
So that people get excited about the fight.
I mean, the way to contextualize it is to be, like, KSI's boy, right?
KSI's best friend. That's how I say it. And it's kind of a stepping stone. So, KSI agreed that if I beat Gib, then he will fight me after that. So, that's why I'm doing it.
Wow.
So, Gib is undefeated. He's 2-0. He had two fights on the undercard. Undercards of both of like the last YouTube fights, and he has all of KSI's fan base behind him, so
right.
he's got that strong UK fan base.
Wow.
But yeah, man, I'm gonna knock the kid out.
Is there anything, any kind of personal animosity between you and him? I don't know, like, to what extent, you know, KSI and Logan really truly hated each other before the fight.
Yeah.
But is there anything building up to this?
Yeah, no. So, like, I think there's, like, beef that's, like, kind of become real, but, like, I didn't know who Gib was until he came up to me at the Challenger Games, the event that my brother and I threw, and he came up to me and he was like, we should fight, and I was just like, yeah, like, that would be cool.
Such a weird, like, YouTube world where someone says that, and what it really means is, like, we should fight if it makes sense for both of us financially.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, like, it's weird, right?
It's weird as fuck, and I didn't really know what he meant, and then my brother came up, my brother knew who he was, and he was like, yeah, that'd be a sick fight between you guys. And so I go home, and I, like, was like, oh, he, like, had a fight before, and it was on the same card. Like, we fought on the same night, but I just didn't pay attention to those other fights. I kind of lost my train of thought. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Just him confronting you and saying he wanted to fight you.
Yeah, so that's where I figured out, like, who he was, and from there he just talked shit online. But, like, I don't know the kid. Like, I've never watched his videos. Like, sure, he's a nice kid, but he made a mistake by, like, talking shit and, like, wanting to fight me because he's smaller than me. He's weighs less than me. He's not as athletic, but somehow, like, and what's crazy about it is, like, the way it's positioned now and, like, what you see, like, online, it's like I'm the underdog,
right?
Which is weird. Like, he, like, people think he is going to beat me and, like, truly, truly believe it. So it's like before my last fight, like, I wasn't the, like, I was the top dog, and now I'm the technically the underdog, which is why it's, like, weird.
What's really motivating you in terms of this one? Because we sort of have seen this whole thing play out with Logan in terms of, you know, I feel like he wanted to do some sort of, like, image repair, just give himself something new. He needed something to make people reimagine who he was as an entertainer, I think.
Yeah, I think that's partially what it is for me. I think, you know, I burnt out. Like, there was a period where, like, I was filming every single day for 2 years, and I was like, yo, like this isn't fun for me anymore. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And, like, the fight stuff, like, just popped in front of our faces, and we were like, yo, this makes sense. This is fun. This is something we enjoy, and we can make a lot of money here. So it checked all the boxes. And for me, like, I kind of found myself as a person when I put down the vlog camera of, like, that character that I was, like, portraying for 2 years, like, just being, like, a loud, obnoxious asshole, and, like, to get more and more views. And as soon as I put down the camera and, like, started to live, like, a real life and, like, just train every single day and, like, not have to film, I, like, found myself as a person, and I grew up over the past, like, however, like, 18 months it's been since I first fought. And it that has been super refreshing to be able to not be, like, sucked into the YouTube world where, like, you know, you just, like, want more and you try and get more views, and it's, like, such an unhealthy thing that's, like, a never-ending cycle,
right?
And you see a lot of YouTubers, like, go through it. And so for me, like, that initially was something that I loved, and I didn't realize it till later that, you know, I was actually finding myself kind of through fighting. which is cool.
Because it's weird, like when you're a YouTuber, like with your stuff in particular, it's like I kind of saw the direction you were going where your content sort of kept getting more and more like kid friendly and like, you know, sort of aimed specifically at a younger audience. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like if you just want to follow what's getting you views and what's making you money, then you go in a certain direction. But that direction might not necessarily be who you are as a person or who you're changing into as a person. But because, you know, it's very hard to like separate like who the real version of you is and who the version of you that you're using to market yourself is, you know, it's like it's viewed this, it's hard to separate that.
Yeah, no, and it can like fuck you in the mind, and it like was a struggle for me, you know, because like it like was a sword that like came back to cut me. Like I portrayed myself online a certain way, like that's not who I was in real life. But so like the world knows me as this person who I'm not, and now I don't want to do that anymore. Like I don't want to be that person anymore. Like it's time to grow up and like be myself, but I'm almost now behind the eight ball because I got all my attention and views and like media and press and like people, the general public knows me for this, and now it's like okay, I'm done. Like I don't want to be kid friendly anymore. Time to grow up, be myself, like start swearing on camera. Like that was like such a like I didn't even think I could do that, and so here I am now as a 22-year-old about to turn 23, like being myself. And it's like this weird thing where like half of the internet hates me for someone I'm not, and half of the internet loves me for someone I'm not. So I'm like in this like weird parallax of like switching fan bases, growing up, like gaining new fans. Some of my most loyal fans are like, you're not the same anymore. Like, we like the old Jake. I'm like, that wasn't me. Sorry. Right. But like, this is who I am. And it's time to like be myself and like not do any more inauthentic shit for views.
Right. And what better way than to like, you know, the boxing is the kind of thing that if you can get in the ring and do that, then people are just going to respect that. Like with Logan taking the L in that last fight, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter because he did all of the training and everything. And people, I think that is a very powerful thing in terms of making people sort of reconsider who you might be, because they know that you went ahead and trained for something that the average person just wouldn't take on. You have to be serious about this if you want to go for it.
Yeah, you can't play boxing. And, you know, I think that's like all part of it. I think it's a good way to kind of like show who I am really as a person, because there's going to be a lot of like attention and light and like media on this upcoming fight. And when I beat Gibb and then go to fight KSI, I'm kind of able to explain to the world like that what I kind of just explained to you. Like I'm just different now. Like I'm older, I'm grown up, I'm more mature. And that's kind of like, That's why I think it's cool, and I found a way to do something that I love, which is boxing. I love it. It's fun. And I don't have to be picking up the camera every single day to put on like some sort of bullshit show.
Right. Okay, Jake Paulers. This podcast is sponsored by Eagle Energy. Eagle Energy is a caffeine inhaler pen. I swear to God, these things are a lifesaver. They're available at myeagle.energy. And if you use promo code NOJUMPER22, then you can actually get 22% off. These things are way better than a cup of coffee or energy drink or anything like that. Caffeine inhaler pen. I swear to God, you're going to love it. Back to the content. How scared are you of losing?
I'm not scared. You know, like...
It doesn't weigh on your consciousness?
No. And I think the reason why is because I literally have done and am doing every single thing possible to get the W. So... You know, there's not going to be like a moment where like I'm walking into the ring and I'm like, damn, wish I would have trained harder that one practice, or wish I wouldn't have done that one day.
Right.
Or, you know, like I'm training to the point where like I have to pull myself back and not overtrain, because
that's a great feeling.
Overtraining is like a real thing.
It's a great feeling when you realize like, oh shit, like I really need to like take a day or two off because I've done so much this week.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, like I've put the work in, you know, and like to me, losing is just like not an option. I think I spoke to my brother like after the fight, and he's like, I've taken so many L's and like bounced back from it. So like maybe there was a thought in my head where if I took an L in this fight, then I would just be able to bounce back from it and like be fine. And to me, I just don't have that mindset. Like, to me, it's like, like if you lose, it's like the end of the world almost.
Right.
So, yeah, just I'm not scared of it. I know it's a possibility. It's boxing. Anything can happen. I'm not ignorant to that. But if I do everything possible, train as hard as possible, get the best coach, best people around me, then it's really just up to me to finish the job.
Does it, like, when you look at the lifestyle that you could be living, like when you're a vlogger, it's this very like self-indulgent thing where you're just making this movie about yourself every day. And I think it kind of, you know, it doesn't incentivize you to be serious really about your life. It doesn't, there's no reason not to just sort of like party and bullshit and just hang out and not, you know, it's like, what is the incentive? Like it sort of creates a version of yourself that maybe is not that admirable in comparison to the boxing thing.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. You wake up every day when you're vlogging and you're like, what's the most fun thing I can do today? What
to look fun, not actually fun. Exactly. I might want to sit on the couch, but for this, I got to go out and I got to do this shit.
It's so toxic. Like I feel bad for anyone who has to like go through that and then like realize after like what they just did,
right?
Because it's like a mental fuck. But boxing is like super healthy. Like, you know, you have to be focused. You can't be partying. You can't really, you're not even really supposed to be having sex with girls once a week.
You're into that too?
Yeah, it's a thing. Like I've had sex the night before sparring and like you don't have, like your legs are like shaking.
Really?
It like takes away like your like power. I don't understand the science behind it, but it's a real thing. So
I feel like I operate the same with or without jizz inside of my body.
And it's so maybe you're a god. You're some sort of god.
But I've also never really tried to do the boxing thing, so I don't know.
It's like, once you get punched in the head.
Really?
So I can have sex the night before a practice, like a boxing practice, where we're just punching the bag, doing mitts, push-ups, whatever, running. That's fine. But I think it has to do with like once you get hit in the head. And like your body's in like fight or flight mode, and then you don't have any testosterone,
right?
And then something to do with that, but
yeah,
it's a real thing. Like fucking, it's crazy.
That makes sense. No, yeah, I think it's gonna be a beautiful thing. What does Tana feel about this? Is she worried at all?
I don't think she even when Logan was getting in the ring, she was just like nervous and like scared and like had anxiety.
A lot of girls are like that with this type of stuff.
Yeah. But I think she's like, go get your bag. Like, you're so focused. Like, I'm proud of you. But it sucks. Cause like we would hang out so much more. But I'm like training twice a day,
right?
You know, and it just, I gotta go to sleep. Gotta get your rest. Right. So you can't really have distractions, and
it's hard to do all the normal shit. Like, you could just go over somebody's house and hang out, and you're thinking about sleeping and eating and
exactly
resting.
It's such a, that's why I have such respect for like just athletes in general. It's like you have to sacrifice so fucking much to be at the top of the game, and it's like, it's a lot. Like you said, like you, like I basically don't have a life, you know. Like,
so do you feel like this is like, when you're training for a fight, like if you're really in a fight camp, like would you know when this fight is going to take
place?
It's
January 30th in Miami, Super Bowl weekend.
January 30th, like in 1 month?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So you've been in training camp for this?
Yeah. So I did Logan's whole training camp
with him.
And then I've now been doing my own training camp. So I've been training for fucking a long time.
So you've known about this for a few months?
No. I was just training because I knew I was going to fight somebody.
Right.
And then obviously it just made the most sense. I did a poll actually. So a lot of people online were like, oh, Jake's like ducking this guy. He's scared to fight Gib. And I did a poll to see like, okay, who does my audience want me to fight? Like, who is going to get the most votes?
Right.
Because I wanted to fight the person who would get the most votes. So put out a poll. It gets like 1 million votes and the majority were for Gib.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to fight this kid. And then from there on, just like was working on the deal behind the scenes to get it done. But bottom line is, I'm not like, for anyone out there that thinks I was ducking him, like I cannot wait to get my hands on this kid.
What made him the most appealing fight, though? Because, like, when you look at Logan and KSI, they're both fucking huge for you. You're fighting somebody that's a bit smaller than you.
People think he's, like, an animal. Like, people think he's, like, because when he fights, he has a lot of energy.
Okay.
And, like, he, like, comes forward and he's, like, aggressive. Uh-huh. And so people, like, take that. Like, people who don't understand boxing, and they're like, oh my God, he's so good. And he's been training with KSI, and they're friends, and like he's undefeated as well. So he's just beat up like two bummy kids, and they only fought for like a couple of rounds.
But was it important to you because you ultimately want to avenge the Paul brother name by taking on KSI?
That's what it is. Like I have to beat KSI. Right. I have to beat KSI, and it's like I beat KSI's brother, Deji. And KSI beat my brother.
Right.
And so now I'm going to beat KSI's best friend or one of his best friends, and I'm coming for KSI. And it's like I have to beat KSI. There's like no option. Like that's like the ultimate fight that's out there right now. Like that's what I think everyone would want to see. Mm-hmm. And Logan said it himself, and you know, I believe it too. And not to chew my own horn, but I'm just a better boxer than Logan. And just more technically sound and just understand the sport more.
Uh-huh. Is Logan over the idea of fighting anybody else on like a real stage?
I think he wants to do MMA.
Really?
Yeah. Because we have a wrestling background.
Right.
And a little bit of jiu-jitsu. And so that's what he wants to do. Like he wants to get a UFC fight or some crazy shit like that.
I mean, Dana White has said positive things about him, sort of, right?
Yeah, recently. So after the last fight, they're like, oh, he could actually fight. Like
even Joe Rogan, I saw very positive about like his potential.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's like, I think it could definitely happen. I mean, I think it's something that Logan, like to me, what it seems like is Logan wants, like it's just something that he needs to do, almost like a bucket list type of thing,
right?
More so.
How much do you think it hurt Logan when he lost though? Because it's interesting. It's like he gets all the notoriety, he gets all the money, he goes through the whole thing, he doesn't really get fucked up. It's not like the Fousey tube fight where his face is all fucked up.
Yeah,
the only thing he doesn't get is he doesn't get his hand raised in the ring, like, and that's kind of the conversation.
And it sucks because he got the 2 points taken away,
right? And so even more controversial.
So it's more I think. And that's why to him, it's like he lost, you know, quote unquote.
But he still gets 99% of the positive
things
from the fight. It's just the fact that he doesn't get to say he won.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's like, I think it affected him for like the first like week. He was upset, you know, like he was pissed off, and like he has a big ego, obviously. But again, it's like he literally lost in the best possible way.
Mm.
Like there's no better way to lose. Like you said, like, didn't get fucked up. Technically would have won if the 2 points didn't get taken away. So it's like, did he really lose? He made a bunch of money.
Would you have wanted to fight Fousey too if he had won that other fight? That would have been so good.
Yeah. Me versus Fousey too. Yeah. Bro, I would have fucking fucked him up even worse. Like,
Just as a fan, I would love to see that.
Jake Paul versus Fousey. I want to fight all the YouTubers, man. Like, I think it's fun. Like, I think it's like, it's great. It's great business. It's great marketing. It's like, it's exciting. It's different. Like, the internet's so boring. I was just like talking about this. Like, the internet's so like, just dry, I feel like.
Mm.
Just like all the same shit always. Like when, like you have the video when like MGK comes up to you and like slaps your thing, I was like, this is exciting.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was like, this is cool. Like some, like this is cool.
Rap.
Like I like, yeah.
Shit goes down in the rap world. No, right? I know. It's a little bit of fun.
That's what I'm saying. Like we need, like the internet side of shit needs like more fucking spunk, man. Like,
yeah.
I think it's part of it's fighting. Like it's just, it's exciting. So I want to fight a lot of fucking people, but definitely KSI is number one on the hit list.
Adam Salah wasn't real considered.
He is like little, right? Like I don't know how much
he
weighs.
Oh yeah, he is little compared to you. That's true. That's Slim. His friend Slim is a bit bigger.
They just like keep on running their mouths, but it's like they need to like prove themselves more, you know? Like they need to go, they need to climb the ladder, right?
Is it weird with the fighting thing? Because it's like you're just a walking, talking clout opportunity for other YouTubers.
Yeah.
They were already using you for fucking clickbait like for the past few years. But then with the fighting thing, now you can say, I want to fight Jake Paul. It's obviously not going to happen for 99.9% of the people who say it. it's just, you're an opportunity for people to talk about you. It has to have been weird to get used to that, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't suck, but it's just like, all right, dude, everyone's doing it. Like, come up, like, create it with a more creative way.
Not even interested or shocked when it's like, normally somebody saying they want to fight you is really going to stand out to you. And you're just like, all right, bro. Yeah.
Add it to the list. Yeah. And that's what it is. Is like, even with Gib, it's like, I procured the fight deal and like made it all happen. And like, I was sitting there with DAZN and they wanted me to fight Gib, but I could have fought anybody and it would be just as big of an event. And so I'm literally going to Gib, handing him so much clout and handing him a bag of money
that he probably would not be able to get otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like it's an interesting position to be in, but I'm thankful that I'm able to be in that position and like grateful. And it's cool, but
does money govern a lot of the decision making that you do? Because like, you know, you were probably making a shitload of money doing brand deals and YouTube and everything, the whole merch thing. It's like, I'm sure that the check for doing the boxing thing is good, but at the same time, like, would it make more sense for you to focus on YouTube? And does it just not appeal to you to the extent that you're just like, fuck it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think in the early part of my career, like a lot of my decision making was based off of like, yeah, like which set, where am I going to get the most money out of?
Right.
And for me now, it's like more so asking myself the question, like, where do I see myself in 5 years? Mm. What do I actually like to do? And, you know, is this fun? And is this something I can see myself doing for a long time? Which like the fighting thing, is yes to all of that. And obviously, like, I'm a business person at the end of the day, though. Like, let's be fucking real. Like, there's a lot of fucking money to be made in fighting. And I look at someone like not to talk shit, but like Andy Ruiz, for example, who just fought Anthony Joshua, for those who don't know, like one of the best heavyweights out there. And he's my boy. Like, I fuck with him. Like, cool guy, nice guy. But he had 200,000 followers on Instagram. Mm. And he was making like $5 million a fight. And so it's like, there's so much room to come in and innovate in the boxing space. And like, that's what excites me. Mm. Like, seeing a space that is so old and has like a set way of doing things. And then you have these people who a lot of us in this room haven't really heard of or are making more money than you and I sitting at this table.
For sure.
Just because they go into the ring and literally get $5 million for like, 40 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like crazy. And to me, it's like, it's exciting to be venturing into that business. I mean, the richest athlete of all time is Floyd Mayweather. Right. So,
right.
And obviously, like, I'll never be at the highest level of professional boxing because these people have been doing it their whole lives, but I think there's a huge business play. And again, if you take away everything that Jake Paul does, what I started off as is like an entrepreneur. And so, you know, it's exciting, and I think there's a huge business in like celebrities and influencers fighting. And I think we're just like scratching the surface. I think everyone's gonna want to start to do it because of the money that's there. Like, YouTube isn't paying as much. I mean, they're demonetizing all these fucking people. Like, you know, there's so much competition out there for brand deals. Like, you see people who just got a million followers and have crazy engagement. They don't have any money, so they're undercutting the market and taking so much less money for brand deals, and it screws up the market for the bigger people. And it's just like, it's becoming harder to monetize in this space.
Does it appeal to you that you get to just sort of, with the boxing thing, you get to sort of just live your life? Whereas when you were dating Erica and shit, it was like you were just sort of constantly using your relationship for clickbait, and that's got to take its toll on your relationship as well as yourself.
Yeah, I know, 100%. Like, when fans get involved in your relationship, when press, like, when you are relying on someone else like being your content, and it like becomes this like big, like mixed, like confusing,
what's real and what's fake.
Exactly.
And you don't know.
It's so unhealthy. So yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, with the boxing shit, I've been able to like find myself as a person, like, and not have to live like a fake fucking life.
Right.
Which, you know, there's parts of my vlogs that were like real, you know, like there were storylines that were real, but then it would be like, all right, we don't have shit to film today. Like, yeah. What are we going to do?
And your shit got so big that you got like a whole team around you that's helping sort of make this shit happen, yeah. Coming up with ideas and stuff. And that's a lot of pressure because you just wake up and you're not in the mood to do this shit and you don't really have a choice because you got all these employees. What the hell are they there for if you're not filming something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a lot of pressure. And it got harder and harder to keep up with because like the empire was growing and growing and growing. And then you just get so many fucking like problems arise. And that's the other thing is like with I'm literally in like 4 lawsuits right now. I want to say
from different vlogs. From vlogging, that you did? What is it? Like people that gets in the background of the vlog or fucking with their property or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like background. Like I'm not exactly allowed. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it. But like just stupid shit that people just see an opportunity to make money because of a potential like harm that they went through or some shit. And it's like with boxing, like don't have any of that. like no one can say shit or sue me because I'm training in my fucking backyard.
When you think back on that like iconic scene with you jumping around on top of that fucking news van and stuff, it was like that was very much you putting yourself into this very specific role of being like, no, I'm gonna be the troll, the troublemaker, the like rambunctious kid. Like I'm gonna play this role up so much, and I'm gonna make a lot of people fucking hate me, but I'm gonna make myself way more famous. Like, does that outlook on life feel completely foreign now?
Yeah. No, it feels foreign for sure. Because I guess that situation's like different. Like that situation to me, like, it was like exactly what you're saying. Like, I just thought it was like hilarious. And I was like, I'm going to be an asshole. And like, no one's ever fucked around on the news before. And like, I thought it was funny, you know, and like, and I portrayed myself in like a stupid way. But yeah, that, like now it seems, now like it seems so. Like, I wouldn't do that now. Like, I couldn't imagine doing that now. Like,
and the crazy thing is that there might have been a different reaction if it was, like, Jake Paul at 18 with a million subscribers doing some shit like that versus Jake Paul a couple of years later with a huge platform. And now all of a sudden you have so many people looking at you from a different perspective where it's, like, you're all of a sudden your content is going out to people way beyond your fan base. And that changes, like, how your shit is going to be received, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like you have to be like more careful, you know, like at the start of your career,
you can do whatever.
You can kind of get away with a lot of
shit. You don't
even
know what it's like to get like lawsuits or negative publicity or whatever. So you're just, if anything, you're trying to bait people into talking about you.
No,
when you first start out, you'd be happy 100%. As fuck if you could get on the news for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about like this shift. Like, when does it shift to like, oh shit, now I gotta like not do stupid shit.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But, you know, fuck. Like, there's no blueprint to this world. Mm. And that's why it's, like, fucking crazy. Like, I feel like we're all just figuring it out as we go. Like, especially with, like, people on social media. Like, you know, like, it's such a new space. You know, you look at so many other industries. Like, if you want to be a singer, it's like there's a fucking model for that. Mm-hmm. And there's like so many companies to help you do that. And you sign to a label and you work with writers and you go to the studio and you drop a project and like you market yourself. And obviously there's more to it than that. But with social media, it's like there's not really like a set formula, which is why you see people like myself like fighting people, like doing this, doing that. Like it's kind of it's interesting. I think we'll start to see there become like a more set way to do things.
Right.
But right now it's just all innovation.
Do you think YouTube, like, are you feeling it when you see like a Will Smith make his appearance on the platform, or does that feel inauthentic because it's like you're clearly kind of just doing this to revive your career, and like we're people who are making YouTube videos with no budget at one point, and now you're somebody coming in the game with a big old team helping you create this content. Does that strike you as odd?
So for me, like specifically with that example of Will Smith, I thought he did a great job at it. Mm. And like, I think he like actually took the time to like learn how to do it and make good content on the platform, which is why I don't like, I don't mind it. Like, kudos to him. And I think it's smart. Mm-hmm. I think it's super smart. And obviously YouTube loves it. That's the thing that I don't like is, like, YouTube will favor Will Smith over the creators that have been fucking hustling on their platform for years and years and years. Like, Will Smith posts a video, trending. Mm-hmm. Will Smith posts a video, trending. Will Smith posts a video. The kid in fucking Iowa who's paying his mom's fucking hospital bills, like, they're not showing him any fucking love. You know what I mean? So that's the part I don't like. But I thought Will Smith did a good job. I think there's other celebrities, though, like, I don't even know. Like, they've fallen flat, but who've come onto the platform and, like, not made good to content, and it's failed even worse.
Right.
So it's a tough platform, yeah. Like, you can't just come in and, like, fuck around. Like, people think, oh, you're a YouTuber. Like, you wake up every day and you just film a fucking video and then post it and you make a shitload of money and you're a millionaire. Like, it's so much harder than that. It's so much more thorough than that.
It must feel so, overwhelming when you go out to do a video and then you get a fucking lawsuit about it and it costs you 10 times as much as you could have made from that video.
Bro, literally dealing with legal is like the worst fucking, it's like my worst nightmare.
Right.
It's like you have to do an hour phone call almost every day. About the stupidest shit. And while you're on that phone call, you're paying, like, that hour phone call just costs you $1,000 because each lawyer on that phone call is $450 an hour. And that, like, it's the craziest thing. But for me, it's about setting the precedent of, like, oh, you want to sue me? I'm not just going to, like, roll over and give you money.
Right.
Like, I'm fighting this case.
To make it go away.
Yeah. Like, I don't want it to just go away. I'm fighting this case and you're going to pay for my legal fees.
Right.
So that's my mindset on it. Like, bro, I didn't do anything fucking wrong. Like, you're just, this is a cry for money and fuck you. Like, I'm fighting this shit versus just being like, oh yeah, here's like 10K to be quiet or 50K to be quiet. Like, that's not my mindset towards
it. That makes it more attractive to just stay in the crib and just not go out really and not fuck with people, because doesn't it start to feel like, oh, when I go to the club, some shit might happen. Yep. When I go out and film a vlog on the street, some shit might happen. So I just want to stay away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's like, I have a target on my back, like, just in general, like, 'cause I'm Jake Paul, like, that name has become, like, so, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but there's definitely a big target and people see money. I don't like to go, like, in public and just, like, fuck around anymore. Like, which is crazy, because it gets to a point where, like, a lot of my first original videos were just, like, going around in public, like, messing around, like, hanging with strangers, hanging with, like, my small amount of fans that would recognize me. And now it's like, I can't even go film anything. I can't prank people. I can't do anything because they're just like, oh, you're Jake Paul.
I saw you and Tana went to Target and it was out of control. And then me and my girl went to Target like a couple of days later and nobody talked to us. And I was like, we're in a good spot right now.
We're in a good spot.
We're in like a good, nice in-between spot.
Yeah.
We also went to a fucking cutty ass Target that there was like nobody at. So
yeah, no.
You guys probably went to a lit one.
We went to a lit one. It was in Woodland Hills. Fucking Targets are getting lit, bro. Targets are getting lit.
The mall in general, if you just want to cause a scene, the mall is where it's going down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the one right by my house. Like, it's crazy. Like, sometimes I forget. Like, at the end of the day, I'm just like a fucking kid from Ohio. And, like, I don't feel like a celebrity. Like, it's weird. Like I know I'm a celebrity and, like, have followers, but I don't feel like one. Like, saying that in the least douchey way possible. Like,
you just don't want to accept it,
like,
you know?
Yeah, I don't want to accept it, but, like, it's weird. Like, we'll, like, go to the mall, and, like, I'll literally forget that, like, oh, shit, like, I'm dressed like a dumbass, and, like, I have to, like, engage with people right now, and I'm, like, tired, and, like, don't want to, like, I'm just look like a bum, and, like, I forget sometimes, like, you know, because I still feel like that, like, regular kid from Ohio who's just like your average Joe, like, fucking kid. Like, I don't know.
It's weird because it's like, if you do manage to, like, keep your hoodie up and your sunglasses on and not get recognized, then you're chilling. But as soon as, like, one or two people figure it out, then it could just be really complicated.
Yeah. It starts with, like, one pic. Because then they're like, why are they taking a picture in the middle of the store? Who is that?
And, like, you're like a spy when you go out. Like, when I go to the mall by myself and I'm just sort of, like, trying to get in there and get out, and you get the hoodie up and you're just trying to, like, make sure that none of these fucking, like, kids walking by me realize. Bond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird things that people don't realize. I like actually the approach that I saw on your channel where you're sort of doing the young kid content with mini Jake Paul on the separate channel.
Yeah.
I thought that was smart.
Yeah. Cause like it's weird. Like I said, like I'm in this place where like I have fans like who love me for one thing. And it's like, how do I transition? It's like your typical, it's literally like, and it's weird that I'm like kind of caught in it. Cause I never thought I'd be caught in it, but it's literally like your typical Disney star age up process. And I'm like in it and it's fucking weird. Like, and it's difficult to deal with. Like right. People, like, I don't think people talk about it enough, but it's like all this, you're like this kid and then you gotta like fucking grow up and like, how do you change your fan base? So it's like, I'm trying to give a little bit of content to that like younger fan base that I do have that I'm still on Disney Channel. Like if you flip on Disney, like I'll still be there sometimes. Like
the old stuff from before that show.
Yeah, they still air it like at least once a day. And so like I'm on Disney Channel. Like I still gain fans from that. And it's like, how do I give them content? But then how do I like also take like explain to this older crowd who probably didn't ever fuck with Jake Paul and like actually maybe even hated them, like, hey guys, like if we hung out in person we'd probably be friends and like I like to party and we're just like, I'm just a fucking kid, like what's up, like, and how do I like merge those two worlds together?
Isn't it weird to think that like say fast forward like 25 years if you have like a Joe Rogan type like just a show like on your channel, but it would be the same channel of you just doing podcasts, and then if you go back 20 fucking years there's these like weird ass videos you don't even relate to at all? Isn't that fucking crazy to think about?
It's weird. Yeah, I don't even know. That's what I mean. It's like it's hard to even think about or deal with or figure out how to navigate, because there's no it's different for everybody. Like Miley Cyrus had to fucking come in on a wrecking ball butt naked to kind of make that transition. Right.
That's true. So and that's the equivalent of a boxing match, real talk, because that's like you have to do something very drastic to make people reconsider you.
Yep. Yeah. Fucking crazy to think about.
It really is. What's the status of the show with Tana? Because Keemstar was tweeting saying that it was canceled.
Yeah. Like, where do I start with that conversation? Why do people still trust him as a news source? I don't get it.
So not true?
It's not true at all. Okay. In fact, the people on set were like, this is the best pilot we've ever filmed in our whole entire lives. Like, blah, 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 blah. And they were just rambling on about how amazing everyone on the show is. But that's what I don't get. How is he? Like, he could say anything. He could say anything and people would just believe it. And I'm sure there's still like a large subset of people. Like this other guy who wants to fight me. His name is Dylan. And like he saw that news or like tweeted about it or something. Like I just saw it pop up on my Instagram and he's like, oh, this fucking idiot. Like, and it's just not even true. Like now he looks dumb.
Right.
Like he's trying to hate on me for something that isn't true. And like, I don't know. People just are so quick to want to see other people fail in this society and like jump on cancel culture. And it's like, it's honestly, so like, I've just never been negative or like a hater. So like, I just don't get it.
Or like having that be like a monetizable part of your life.
Yeah. Like where did he get that news from?
See, I don't know where he got it from. He was saying it was a tip, like when he tweeted it. So I'm not sure the extent to which he really investigated that tip.
But like, is it, or is he just like at home bored and he's like, I'm mad because I hate Jake Paul more than anybody in this world and I have a platform that hates him too and I'm just going to come up with something to drive content and views today. Like,
right. But do you feel like a lot of people really hate the fucking thing with you and Tana? Is like, has that been like a weird source of negativity in terms of people just having their opinions about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Like my fans don't like it more than anything else I've ever seen. Like my fans are like anti us being married, which is weird. But like other than that, like it's like I don't really.
You think her fans are down with it?
I don't think her fans like it either. I think her fan, like, both of our fan groups, like, argue about it. Like, that's right. The most amount of negative shit I see from it. I think the outside world just, like, doesn't know what to make of it.
Right. Didn't Billie Eilish unfollow her over it? Or did she just, like, leave why. A vomit emoji or something?
Yeah, like, I don't know why. I don't know if it was over that, but...
That's such a fucking funny thing to imagine Billie Eilish having, like, any reaction to that.
Yeah, like, why? Like, I feel like she'd be so busy, but...
Just so much shit going on in her life that carved out a little bit of her time.
Fuck man. You for getting married, you bitch. That meant, unfollow.
That wedding was the best night of my life.
Bro... I feel like it wasn't. Man. I feel like you're being sarcastic.
It was very much like a TV type wedding because it was like a party, and then tucked away over here, you're like doing the ceremony, and a lot of people didn't even know that was happening at that time. It's just being filmed over here. That was kind of odd.
I thought it went horribly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the live stream was all fucked up too, right?
Yeah, that was fucked up. And just like it was all too crowded. There's too many people that we didn't think that many people were going to come, and I was drunk. So normally when I'm at my own events and like shit's not going wrong, like, or shit's going wrong, like I'm able to like fix some of it or like problem solve.
But it's totally out of your hands.
But I was just drunk as fuck. And I was just like, this is dope. And people were like, stand over here. Like I was that drunk. Like I was like, just like,
it's not your show. So are you kind of in the mentality of like, I'm going to show up and just, they tell me to stand over there, I'm going to stand there. And
exactly. Just, I was like, this is a party, and I was kind of like nervous, and I was just like, I'm attending a party right now. And that's the mindset I took. And I was just like fucking taking shots.
Right.
and then it all went terribly. And then, yeah. I don't really remember much of it.
It was a wild night for me because I was actually hanging out with your mom in the club.
Wow.
I mean, just chatting, you know, like 3 a.m. She stayed in the club later than me. Like, I'm over here having a chat with the Pamster, and then she's just fucking, or her fans are the Pamsters, right?
Her fans, my mom has my fans.
No, but I was just hanging. I'm like, this seems really bad that his mom is still kicking it in the, and when I say in the club too, like you guys had this whole, like, it was like having a big apartment in the club.
Yeah, we had like 4 different sections or some shit.
Yeah, you really don't have to mingle with the common folk at all when you're in that environment. Me and Pam.
But what did you guys fucking talk about? Like, where did that even go?
I don't know. It was probably mostly my girl just talking about the wedding and stuff.
My mom is such an amazing like person and interesting character.
Really?
I love her so much.
You think she's a big part of why you've been successful?
Yeah, for sure. I think both of my parents, you know, I think they did a really good job of, I mean, I feel like I'm walking into like a comment trap hole on YouTube. Like, I think they did a really good job at raising us, and all the haters are gonna be like, no, you fucking, they fucking up. Suck. Greg, like, I've seen comments before failed. Where they're like, yo, they should have killed the Paul brothers' parents and shit. So, I'm walking into a death trap there, but
that's all right.
I think like they taught us a lot of great values, like, even though, like, again, I'm just walking myself into a fucking trap.
No, but do you think your parents like very much kind of raised, like the Kanye thing, like his parents really like raised him to believe that he could be what he wanted to be? Did they sort of give you that mentality? Because a lot of kids don't have that sort of confidence.
Yeah, I think it's my dad was very instrumental on like the business side, confidence, hard work. Like, he sent us out at, I was probably 13, 14, Logan was 15, 16, to like mow lawns, snow plow people's driveways. We did the business ourselves. We managed, like, we had clients, and we were like taking care of clients, and he showed us how to work hard, and we would actually like buy, my dad's business was, he would buy like a $50,000 house. And by the way, he'd probably only have like $70,000 to his name. So he'd buy a $50,000 house and then spend like $10,000 fixing it, and me and Logan and him would do the work like all through the summer. This would be like every summer, and we'd fix up the whole entire house, and then he would sell the house for like $150,000 or like something like that. And so we would just like, we would be working all summer, like in the heat, like 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. to fix up the house, and like make it dope. And it was hard work. Like these houses were like, it was awful. And so, you know, that taught us to be like humble and appreciate like what we have. Cause he wasn't even paying us. Like we would just do it because he was our dad.
But did that sort of show you that, like, did you see your family's financial situation change through that hard work? Like, oh, we're gradually making more money over time and like feeling more comfortable because my dad actually put in that work. Because I feel like when you see that as a young kid, that really kind of tells you something like, oh, I'm not stuck where I'm at.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think there was like my dad started to get better and better and like he started to become more and more comfortable. And then he started to like be able to have money to even like buy things and buy like a car or whatever it was. So yeah, kind of, I guess in hindsight, it's like, yeah, it was like able to see like hard work pays off.
Right.
But my mom, and then my mom just like super, super awesome. Like she's like the loving side of me and like the caring side. And I'm definitely, I feel like I'm like a mama's boy. So, we always like, I feel like we always kind of held the family together because I feel like my brother and my dad were always like causing trouble and like drama and shit like that. And like, we were like the ones who were like able to like reel everyone back in together.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I met your dad at the fight and he seemed like his guard was very up because he wasn't 100% sure if I was talking to him because I was like a person who talks shit about the family online type thing.
You know, well, we
like,
have so much of that.
You know, he's like very kind of like, he's like, oh yeah, okay, I've seen your stuff. Yeah. You seem like a straight up guy, like that kind of thing. Like he was like kind of feeling it out to make sure I wasn't about to like, secretly roast him or some shit. Yeah,
bro. I've had people like literally like secretly like record me in like a conversations and shit.
Really?
Like, yeah, like just like the weirdest shit ever. And like same with my dad, because it's weird. Like my dad has a fucking target on his back too. Like people get mad at Greg Paul.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I don't know, but he's a good guy.
You know what's kind of interesting to me is to see how, because I feel like the Vlog Squad was like kind of a second like iteration on what you tried to do with Team 10. Like this whole idea of like, I have a popping YouTube channel, so I'm going to create like a network of people within that. But he tried to do his like more separate and shit where it's like, you know, just sort of like a loose group of people, whereas you tried to do the thing with like the house and the people really in the house and like controlling more of a big percentage of it. Does that just seem like a like kind of a idea that you don't want anything to do with at this point?
Yeah, like it just doesn't work.
Right.
Like it doesn't work. Like the thing with the Vlog Squad is like, and I saw kind of the progression of it because they all came from Vine, so like they were all successful on their own,
right?
And they're all talented and none of them are like signed to anybody.
Mm.
So there's no like business involved. Like I'm sure there's like weird shit with like, you know, like, oh, you're hanging out with this person, or like, I'm sure that it gets like convoluted sometimes. But with me, it's like, I set out to create a business.
Mm.
And so there was contracts and business. Like when you mix business and like friendship and like living together, it just like doesn't work out. And the hard part was I was taking people who I saw potential in,
building like, them up,
like Alyssa Violet, right? Like right. She was literally like working as like a cashier and like saw potential in her and helped her launch her career. But then it's like, if they don't know what to do with all of this, like they don't know how to work hard, they don't know how to market themselves, they don't know how to make content, or maybe they're not good at it. Like I'm not saying her as a specific example, like I think she is fucking dope at making content and shit, but it's a lot to deal with in this world. LA, like getting snaked over, like the clubs, like that's not a thing, like where most of these kids are coming from. So it was hard for a lot of them to keep their head on straight and stay focused and know what to do with the fame and the money and all of the shit that I was giving, basically handing to them overnight.
And a lot of the it's not that structured. It's not like you're like flying people out to join a fucking video game team and everybody knows what the mission is. The mission is to sit in your room and play video games and get really good at it. It's more like, oh, your job is to go out and be a professional socialite / content creator, basically. Yep. And it's like, what does that turn into? It's like, I don't know, that idea. Like I was so interested watching you try to do it, but I also like having watched it, I really wonder to what extent it's even possible to really do that.
It's not possible. Thank you for me. Yeah, no, it's weird. And it's weird because like, like I also was young. I also was really like young trying to do it. And like it was also like how I was learning business. There's like really in general. And like how to even deal with investors. Like there's just so much shit that goes into it. And I was so young. And I was also having to like go out and create content. So I couldn't have my control over it like I wanted to. And mixed with the fact that I was vlogging every day. So I would wake up. Sole mission is to get the best pieces of content that is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Do I care about Susie's feelings and why she's upset? No, I don't. Sorry. Like, I don't even have time to.
Right.
You know, and they... It was kind of this like mutual understanding. Like I'm just using Susie as a random name, but Susie didn't feel like she could come to me because she knew how busy I was. You know right. what I mean? And so it was just like, it was just like too much. And it sucks though. It sucks. And it kind of fucks with me a little bit because if I would have had the right people who like just were able to fucking understand right. what they were there for and like what the vision was and to endure the hard times of them being upset or them being like or the manager in their ear being like, oh, Jake Paul is taking 20% of you. Oh, come over here. We can get you out of that contract. And he doesn't need to be fucking taking 20%. He doesn't do anything for you. Wake up. Like I got you all the followers that you have, the reason why you're able to even make money. So if I was able to endure, if the people on the team were able to endure like all those hard times and like push through and stick and focus to the vision, like imagine if Team 10 was like still a thing right now, yeah. It would be the biggest fucking group on online. And that's why it's like the vision was there. It's just like the execution, and it's probably my fault. You know, it's like I was the leader of it. I'm not even probably. It's definitely my fault. I was young and didn't have the right people around, didn't pick the right people to blow up. And you know, it's all just a learning experience. But I think it's just like it's hard to deal with influencers and young kids and fame and money and right. all that shit. So
when was the last time you talked to Alyssa?
We recently. So I was trying to get her to be in my music video.
Right. It now occurs to me that we really haven't talked about music this whole time, even though that's kind of
it's kind of a thing.
The big thing besides the boxing.
Yeah. So I was trying to get Alyssa to be in the music video for my new song, and she was like down because I wrote the song about a couple of, like different of my exes, mm-hmm. but like part one of them was her. And I was like, okay, like my marketing brain clicks on, like how do I get the most exposure? Like, okay, it'd be crazy if Alyssa was in the video. And we had like squashed our beef and like we're cool and all that stuff, which people probably don't know. Like
before her and Banks broke up or after?
Before, okay. Yeah. So like I squashed my beef with Banks, squashed it with Alyssa, and then they broke up after that. but I was like, you want to be in the video? And she was like down and down. And she was like, yeah, I'm doing it. And then like the night before, she was just like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. Oof. And so, yeah, but that was the last time we talked.
Oh, okay.
Or no, we talked like after the song came out.
Do you feel like you're like hung up on her at all emotionally?
No, I've definitely had closure. I think for a long time, I didn't realize how much I liked her until after the... Like I think once the shit with like Logan happened and then like I had to like kick her out. And then once she was gone, I think I realized like, oh shit, like that girl was actually a really cool girl. And I actually liked her more than I thought I did. But again, I was just like fucking hustling every single day involved in my business. And that was my main priority. And so I wasn't able to really focus on the relationship that we did have, which is why it went south on both sides of it. But yeah, I definitely went through a period where I was like, damn, that girl's dope. Like, I liked her more than I realized I did. But it's been so long. There's, like, been closure.
How do you feel when you're seeing, like, her calling Banks out for cheating on her as somebody who's sort of been a crucial player in this whole story? Are you watching that and you're like, wow,
yeah,
that's fucking hilarious, but also kind of sad?
It's sad for Alyssa. But like I feel like there's a lot of weird shit to talk about there. But the sad part is like, okay, Alyssa, didn't you learn your lesson like the first time to like not put your business like your relationships online like that. Like that's where I think it's messy. And then where it's also messy is like how Banks came at me so hard for cheating on Alyssa and like made me a villain to half the internet because I cheated on Alyssa. And because like, you know, and then he goes and does the same thing, apparently.
You guys are awesome cheaters. I'm going to be honest with you. These fucking successful YouTubers, of course they're going to cheat on you. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how hot you are.
Yeah. It's the sad truth, dude. It's fucking fat.
I'm sorry, Alyssa.
No, it's true, dude. Like this world, like LA is not the fucking city to find like love.
You imagine how, it's how not, normal, bro. Normal girls are like, Alyssa Violet's getting cheated on by all these guys. What chance do I have to not get cheated on? No chance.
I think with social media in general, like it's just so hard to be faithful in a relationship. There's so much opportunity. There's so much like the grass is greener on the other side. Yeah. It just fucking like, and especially in LA, like, you know, like there's just girls will throw themselves at you, you know? And especially if you're in like the club, like nightlife scene and all that shit. And it just
gets messy real
messy.
Quick.
Real messy.
Ain't that the truth? I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the new song is pretty good.
Thank you, man.
I was expecting it to not be that good. I heard it and I'm like, you know what? This is a lot of growth going on here.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
And even my other homies who are around who like literally don't even know who the fuck you are pretty much, they were like, that was good. They're like, it was good. They were down.
Thank you, man. So yeah. Good. I was really happy with the feedback and I've never actually gotten so much positive feedback on a song that I've done before. And there was a lot of like fans or people who were like, I don't like Jake Paul, but this is actually good. Right. And to me, that was like, I was like a mini success. I was like, yes.
That's a big
like,
W, yeah.
A big W. Because, you know, I love music. And again, it goes back to like, put the camera down from vlogging and like, who am I as a person? Like, I fucking love music. Right. I love boxing. And like, music's something where like, I don't have to like, fucking try to like it's endlessly creative for me, and it just the process of it is so fun, and it just and it's something I love doing, and so I've just been putting in a ton of time to like learn the craft and just try things, work hard, like put in my hours, because you can't just like say, okay, I'm gonna do something and become good at it. Like you have to try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. And so I've just been, it's something I've been taking super seriously, like behind the scenes. And just, yeah, just getting better and working with different people. And, it's like something I see myself doing in 5 years. Like I want to be on my own tours, like fucking turning up, like crowd surfing, like with my fucking older fans getting crunk as fuck. Like that's where I see myself going. And it's going to be hard, you know, it's not, you can't just do music. There's so much competition. There's so many incredible people out there. And so, for me, I'm just like working at it and seeing where it goes.
Are you not going to put out the collab that you did with NLE Choppa, who we just saw?
Did you talk to him about it?
I didn't bring it up. I thought about it a little bit, but then I remembered that you said you might not even put it out, so I wasn't sure if it
was... Yeah, I might. I think I'm going to put it out. I feel like it's going to get backlash, though.
Really? Were you talking about Draco's and shit?
No, not about guns.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But no, like definitely like rapping more in it. Right. And I think there's like obviously the stigma with my name of like, oh, like Jake Paul, like, and his music sucks, because I did put out shit songs, like fucking this old songs that like I can't even listen to them. Like it makes my ears bleed.
Right.
And so like obviously I have that track record of like putting out like just this like YouTube shit music. But that I'm like rapping in like pretty hardcore. And so I just don't know what like the audience's reaction to it would be, or like an outside community reaction to it. But the video is so sick. Like the music video for it is like, it's almost too fire to the point where like I and I'm talking about like the video itself. I'm not even talking about the song. Like Steve-O's in it. Like it's obviously NLE Choppa. Like there's like helicopters and like semi trucks and Porsches and donuts and motorcycles and like it's like I put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
So it, for me, like I want to put it out, but I just don't know if like if the timing will be right because I don't want to like make a false step in the music space because I've already done that.
New identity that you're kind of pushing now.
Yeah, exactly. So because I've already made like bad steps and like bad moves in the space and like done stupid shit and put out trash songs. So I just don't want to like hurt myself or shoot myself in the foot when I'm smart enough now to like realize that. But I don't know. Choppa and I like are cool and like, you know, it happened organically. That's the other thing. People just be like, oh, Choppa got paid for the feature. Like he just got the bag. And I just don't want like, which is not true, but I don't want that to be like become a thing.
Right. So he didn't get paid?
No.
It just happened organically?
Yeah. Cause Choppa. So right when he dropped Shot of Flow, like a couple days later, my friend hit him up and like he showed me the video. He's like, yo, because my one friend Jaded Barber is like friends with so many people.
Shout out to Jay.
Yeah, shout out to Jay.
Has cut my hair before.
Yeah, yeah, he's the plug. He just knows like everyone somehow. He's like, oh, like you and Choppa should do something. I hit him up and he's down. And so he came over to my house and like we hung out and I had the song already recorded and there was an open verse. And he played it. He's like, oh, fuck with this. Like, he's like, damn, like, I didn't know you could rap. And he just did the verse. And that's how it happened. And he's just a cool kid. Like, you know, I kind of seen like his rise to stardom, which is fucking sick. So.
He is a cool ass dude. I just talked to him an hour before this. And he's got the personality for sure.
Yeah. And he's smart. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. So, yeah, but. It just like going like me going into like the like putting myself out there into the hip hop space like that. It's just like a fine line that I just like need to be careful with.
Definitely.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'll play you the video after.
Oh, all right, good idea.
And
yeah.
I want to see what you think about it.
I need to see that. Yo, so I feel like we covered like the majority of the shit, like the music, the fucking boxing, the love life, the past business attempts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So this is a good summary.
Yeah.
Anything we missed?
Fire. No, I think it's good, bro. Like,
damn.
Chilling. There's a lot of shit going on.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, bro. I feel good about this.
We have hand towels now.
That's fire.
You need a hand towel? I'm sure you got plenty of Team 10 hand towels.
I saw Choppa get some merch. Get some merch?
Anything you want. We got socks. We got these new hats.
I want the kendamas, bro.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I always watch your videos. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? I'm dead.
Man, you might get into that shit like me and just fucking never be able to think about anything else ever again.
Just you got some.
It runs my brain. Actually, I need this one. You can get the pink one. You want the pink
one? I got this one.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro.
It's like a lean kendamas, but you probably know exactly what it's about. Thank you, man. Lean?
I haven't.
I got you.
Do you like it?
No, it's bad news. You don't want it.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's like dangerous.
It is fun,
I fuck with like other shit, but like not. But it's so normalized. Like I remember the first time someone was like, hey, you want some? And I was just like, no. But like. It's so normalized, I feel like.
In LA, hell yeah. But then you forget sometimes and you'd be talking about drugs and shit on like people in fucking Iowa are just
and they're
like
what are you doing? You did Molly?
And then you forget that you're talking to seventh grade kids and fucking they have no clue and that if you were there.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
Yeah. No, that's important too, yeah, for sure.
Don't do drugs for sure.
Definitely. Damn, I'm gonna shred this one when you leave. Jake Paul, appreciate you, man.
Peace out, guys. Bye.
Appreciate you, G. Jake Paul, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com. If you want to get yourself a kendama or a hand towel.
Cop that shit.
Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Thank y'all for watching. I'm Jake Paul. Make sure to like and subscribe to No Jumper. We out. Psh.